This is Jonathan Farrington. Welcome back to this latest edition of the JF Interview Series. My guest today is good friend, long-standing friend actually, Diane Helbig. She's an international business and leadership change agent, author, award-winning speaker, and podcast and web TV channel host. As president of Seize This Day, Diane helps businesses and organizations operate more constructively and profitably as a speaker and workshop facilitator. Diane merges energy and enthusiasm with rich content. Her goal is to leave her audience with actionable steps, as well as the excitement to implement those steps. Diane has expertise in small business, sales, social media, networking, strategic planning, and leadership. And she brings over 20 years of small business management and sales to her coaching. Diane is the author of Lemonade Standing and Expert Insights, and she's the founder of Business Opportunity Network, a group coaching and referral sharing program. She's also a member of the advisory board for the American Institute of Sales, Marketing and Management. I've actually invited Diane to come and have a chat with me about her upcoming new book, and we're quite excited to hear all about it. Welcome, Diane.
Thanks so much for having me, Jonathan.
Absolute pleasure. Do you know that we have actually been friends for almost 14 years?
Yes. Doesn't I was thinking time... about that the other day.
Doesn't time fly when you're enjoying yourself?
Truly.
Okay, so we've got this new book coming out, Succeed Without Selling. The more you think about selling, the less that you will sell. Now, I'm advised that it's going to be released on December 1st, 2020, which means that you will, in all probability, make it into the Top Sales World's Top Sales Awards Top Book of the Year contest. Try saying that. We wish you all the best with that. So I've got to begin by asking you, what was the motivation, Diane, for the book? And for the title, and what's the key message that you want to get across?
Oh, thanks so much for asking that question. I have struggled over the years watching small business owners and sales professionals behave in ways that don't get them what they want. And either they were trained this way or they somehow got this idea that this is how they're supposed to act. And what I noticed was this focus on selling was actually giving them the opposite result. They weren't selling. And then they are frustrated and they don't want to sell. And unfortunately, that's not an option. They have to sell. So I thought, if I can help them understand a different mindset, that there is a total other way of approaching the quote sales process that is more comfortable, that is more natural and more connective, then they will do it and they will do it successfully. So they will actually be able to sell. And then I decided that I just wanted to include every wrong thing that I was seeing. So there's a chapter for sales managers. There's a chapter for direct sellers. I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to put it all out there and try and cover all of the bases so that hopefully people realize there's a better way that is more results oriented.
Yeah. Well, what you're actually doing, Diane, is you're endorsing that conversation that many years ago apparently either did happen or didn't happen, when the buyer turned to the salesperson and said, "Don't sell to me, understand me." Yeah. And that's really that's the nub of what you are teaching us, isn't it?
Yes, it absolutely is. People don't like being sold. They don't mind buying. But they want to buy from someone who is really invested in them, someone who really understands what their situation is. And one thing that I notice salespeople do all the time is they think they have to get all the business. And so they end up not listening, not asking enough good questions, not really paying attention to what's going on with the prospect. and they end up in really bad relationships where they're not making money and they're not happy. And I don't get that. I think that is detrimental to a business.
What do you think the root is, Diane? Do you think it's poor training? Do you think it's inadequate training? Do you think it's inappropriate training? I mean, I've never seen a sales course, and I've been in sales much longer than you, but I've never, ever seen a sales course where, you know, the concept of listening and actually making the client or customer feel as if they're part of the process rather than part of the audience is actually taught. Have you?
No, that is exact. So I would say ineffective, inappropriate, misguided. There's this weird, and I say this in the book, I firmly believe that it is rooted in like the 1980s, 70s and 80s, when the customer really didn't have information and salespeople were taught they always had to be closing, that everyone was a potential client, that as long as they were eloquent enough and as long as they knocked on enough doors or called enough people, they were going to be successful. Hmm. And I don't think that ever really worked. It certainly didn't work twice. Like, you might be able to do it once with somebody, but you're not going to be able to do it twice with them. And most people, that's unnatural. They don't, that's not a comfortable way to engage. So they don't do it, or they do it badly and they struggle. It's just weird. I think people have been trained so badly. And then you have like small business owners who don't get trained. They just go off of the experiences they've had and the belief system that they've developed from those experiences with other salespeople. And they try and emulate that, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah. I think that part of the problem is that, you know, when people say, how should I sell? I always say, how do you like to buy? Yeah. Because yes, okay, we're all sellers, but we all like to buy. And if I see, if someone tries to sell to me, you know, they'll find me ruffling around in my pockets trying to find my crucifix, because I really do not want to be sold to. I hate being sold to. Right. I mean, I could give you endless numbers of stories, you know. I mean, when I changed from Mercedes to Audi, there was a very nice South African guy, very, very efficient. And he started selling to me. And I said, you know, Stefan, I don't want to be sold to, please. I said, this is what I want. Just facilitate the sale and we'll get on really, really well. Well, that was five cars ago. So clearly he's done a good job. But isn't it as simple as that, Diane? Isn't it? If we want to learn how to sell, then, you know, just understand how we like to buy and then just turn it around.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Just stop. You know, this is just, I just stop the madness. It just, it's really, I think that's such a good point. I think if people really paid attention to this is how I like to be treated and this is the experience that I want in a buying episode, then sit on the other side of that and do what you would want someone to do with you.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Absolutely. I mean, and the other point you make is, and you are absolutely spot on, is that sales managers insisting that their sales teams just get on the phone and dial, 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 or go door knocking and knock, 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 you know, without any preconception of who they're trying to sell to, whether there is any synergy, whether there is any need, whether they can create value. And it's almost quixotic in its methodology. It's like, you know, how many windmills can I knock down today? Yeah. Absolutely extraordinary. But you see, I think that, you know, and I will go back to this point. I think a big portion of the blame has to lay at the sales training companies that are out there at their door, because all they're doing is perpetuating this nonsense. And, you know, they're training people to sell how they themselves sold and how they were taught to sell. For goodness, the world's moved on. Buyers have changed forever. why on earth have we got, you know, why selling is stuck in the 19th century? I have no idea at all.
I'm so with you. I completely, completely agree. Buyers are screaming that they want a different experience, that they want a different relationship. And I would offer to sales managers that when you have salespeople calling, just dialing to dial or walking indoors, you're actually hurting your company, because the reputation that your company ends up getting is that you are just salespeople, not solution providers, not problem solvers. And that's hard to get back. Once you've done it, you know, first impressions are everything. It's hard to get back. Marry that with having revolving doors outside your sales department because people don't last, and the prospects are consistently being engaged by different people. That's not real great for your reputation either. So they're just shooting themselves in the foot.
I couldn't agree more with you, Diane. One of the interesting things about your book is that you do, I mean, it's not unique, but you do provide sample scripts and proposal templates, which I think is fabulous, because too often, I mean, your target market is frontline sales professionals, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. And hopefully the managers will pick up on this, you know, and maybe even the managers' managers, because this isn't just a, you know, this isn't just a sort of unique single message that you're sending out there. This has to permeate its way all the way up the food chain and back down again, as we were discussing before we came on air. So, yeah, I mean, putting those sample scripts and proposal templates is a great help, because, you know, they'll get to the end of the book. I mean, hopefully whilst they're reading it as well during the read, they can refer to those. And it's a great way of learning and getting used to a concept. Yeah.
Definitely. And thank you for that. Because part of the reason that I put them in the book was I kept feeling like I was explaining what to do, but I wasn't showing how that actually is manifest. Right. So I also added those resources to my website so people can go and download them for themselves and then modify them for their situation.
Absolutely. And I think that's right. I mean, frontline sales professionals do need to be shown. You know, we can't rely on them to read a book from cover to cover without some help. Because, you know, as we know, the attention span of the average salesperson is about 3.2 nanoseconds these days, I believe. And I don't mean to be unkind, but it's everything is instant gratification. And yet, you know, books like this coming along are a must read. They're not a nice to read. It's not something you go and sit in the garden under a tree with something cool to drink, preferably alcoholic, and say, oh, great, what a lovely day. I'll read Diane Helbig's book. No. It's got to be digested. And, you know, the extracts that I've seen and read, I've enjoyed very much. And this is a book that needs to be kept in the top desk drawer, frankly. I firmly believe that. Now, what would you say, what would you like to happen after publication? What sort of reaction are you hoping for? Are you expecting lights to come on suddenly? Or are you on a crusade to get this message across over the coming months and possibly years?
I am actually on a crusade to get this message across. I am so committed to trying to change the sales landscape so that people stop behaving badly and start realizing success. So yeah, that is, I am really hoping that light bulbs go off. I'm hoping that people, you know, read it and really digest the mindset chapter and the ABCs of sales has changed chapter. I mean, all of them, but really from the beginning, I would love to see a shift in people's understanding of how to engage moving forward. And I don't know that that's going to be an easy thing, but at least starting the conversation around, okay, what can I be doing differently and really trying, I think would be a huge benefit to the buyers and the sellers.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're not the only person on this crusade, as you well know. I've been on this crusade for, oh, God knows, I'd give my age away if I told you. And, you know, there are an awful lot of thought leaders within the sales space that think like we do. Yeah. And, you know, and in conversation with them, they're very committed to changing salespeople's attitude and outlook, maybe one at a time or a sales team at a time. Somehow, collectively, we've all got to get together and collaborate so that the noise that we make becomes so loud that people can't ignore us anymore. And, you know, all I can think is that, what's it going to take? You know, 4 years ago, you've no doubt seen me write about this and speak about it a lot, Diane. 4 years ago, 54% of frontline sales professionals were achieving their number. Well, that went down to 43%. Okay, so 43% in 2019. Obviously, we can't accurately benchmark or measure this year, but I did say last November that I felt it was going to dip under 40% for the first time. And that is horrific. So what's it going to take? What is it going to take for people to get the message? Is it going to take, are we going to get down to 30% or 25% or 20%? People go, yeah, you know what? What we're doing ain't working. Well, yeah. So I can.
I don't know. I'm really hoping that like the programming that Top Sales World puts out and the books that the contributors are writing, mine included, and the conversations that we're having, that maybe what we need to be saying to people is, how about being open to a different way? Mm. You know, I started a program a couple of years ago called Give Me a Year, because I thought if sales managers and business owners would just give any one of us in this space a year to create a different system, it would cost them less than I think it's costing them now. Maybe we have to show them what the cost is of bad sales behavior.
Yeah, but it's a revolving cycle at the moment. Yeah. The average tenure of a sales manager, particularly one that was appointed because they were the best selling, you know, the most successful salesperson when the vacancy came up, is the average tenure is now 18 months, and it's getting shorter. So, you know, I've got great sympathy. I mean, sales managers are getting a whole load of stick at the moment. Everybody's on their backs. And I've got huge sympathy with them, because they are just fighting a losing battle. And, you know, that's why I'm trying my best through everything that we're doing, like roundtables and all the stuff that we do in the magazine and on Top Sales World, to really help those guys out. If we can get to the sales managers and if we can change their mindsets, they will work with us to change the mindsets of the frontline sales professionals. I've got no doubt about that.
Absolutely. I agree.
So, you know, I can only repeat, I hope sales managers pick this book up and read it thoroughly. Anyway, look, Diane, as you know, we have a limited time allowance with these short recordings, but we will be working with you through your campaign, which is sort of from now until the book publication, and probably after that too. So, you know, we've got your back. And we're on your team, and I personally will do anything I possibly can to work with you and help you with this book.
I am so grateful, Jonathan, and I have to say that meeting you 14 some years ago was probably one of the most impactful things that has happened in my business since inception.
Well, a lovely thing to say. Thank you.
I really value our relationship and the opportunities that you have afforded me to get my, you know, get the message out. So, well, thank you.
It's been a huge pleasure, because I think you're doing sterling work, and I think you always have done since I've known you. Right. What message do we want to leave the listeners with at this stage, Diane? I mean, we've told them the book is due for publication on the 1st of December. They can get across there to Amazon and pre-order, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so again, the title of the book, everyone, write this down on your foreheads, use a mirror. Succeed Without Selling, The more you think about selling, the less you will sell. It's in paperback format. It will be in Kindle format too. Is that right, Diane?
It is currently in Kindle format. It will be in paperback on December 1st.
Okay. Apologies. Okay. Excellent. Okay. Excellent. So everybody can get hold of that. Now, if you want to learn more about Diane, Diane's website address is Diane.
Well, it is actually now helbigenterprises.com.
Get you. Okay. you can also learn a lot more about Diane if you pop over to Top Sales World.
Yeah.
She's one of our longest serving contributors. Go into the top nav bar, see the drop down contributors, and you can read all about her there too. And look out for more about Diane. She's going to be appearing on the front cover of November's Top Sales magazine, which we're excited about. And we'll be doing some other recordings and interviews and talking to her generally. Okay, again, Diane, thank you very much indeed. This is fabulous work. And, you know, I, as I said earlier, I'm totally on this crusade with you. So
thank
we will
you
win.
So much. We will.
We will win. We will. Okay, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that. Grab a copy of this. And, you know, as I suggested earlier, you know, when you get your copy, read it thoroughly, and probably you'll want to read it at least twice, if not three times, and then keep it in your top drawer, because this isn't a simply a book written about, you know, the new way of selling. I mean, it is, but it's so much more than that. And, you know, it may take you a while to change your style, to change your attitudes, to change your approaches. But, you know, again, as I said earlier, buyers have changed the way they buy forever, and they are never going back. If we sellers remain in our comfort zone and just keep trying to sell the same way that we always have, we are going to fail miserably, sooner rather than later. Thank you for joining us. This is Jonathan Farrington. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.